Vesenam janasanvitam. Yudhisthira-stara-karnya. Sayanam sarapanjare. Apichad-vividam-dhamam. Vesenam janasanvitam. Suto vacha yudhisthirastara karnya sayanam sarapanjare apricchad vividan dharman rishinam chanushinvitam. Ladies, Yudhisthirasta akarnya sayanam sarapanjare apichad vividam dharmam rishinam chanushinditam. Yudhisthirasta akarnya sayanam sarapanjare apichad vividam dharmam rishinam chanasunvatam. Sutta Uvacha. Sri Sutta Goswami said, Yudhisthira.
King
Yudhisthira. Tat. That. Akarnya.
Hearing.
Sayanam. Lying down. Sarapanjari.
On the bed of arrows.
Aprichat.
Asked.
Vividan.
Multifarious.
Dharman.
Duties.
Rishinam.
Of the rishis.
Cha. And. Anushrinvatam.
Hearing after.
Translation. Sutta Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, after hearing Bhishma speak in that appealing tone, asked him in the presence of all the great rishis about the essential principles of various religious duties. Please repeat. Sutta Goswami said,
Maharaj Yudhisthira,
after hearing Bhishma Dev speak
in
that appealing tone,
asked him
in the presence of all the great rishis
about the essential principles
of various religious duties.
Purport by Śrīla
Prabhupāda. Bhishma Dev, speaking in that appealing tone, convinced Maharaj Yudhisthira that he was very soon passing away. The verse before it was, May my Lord, who is four-handed, whose beautifully decorated lotus face with eyes as red as the rising sun is smiling, kindly await me at the moment when I quit this material body. So, in this way, Bhishma Dev, lying on the bed of arrows, is indicating that he's preparing to leave. May the Lord who's here await me while I quit this material body. Then the topic changes. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was inspired by Lord Sri Krishna to ask him of the principles of religion. Lord Sri Krishna inspired Maharaj Yudhisthira to ask Bhishma Dev in the presence of many great sages, indicating thereby that the Lord's devotee like Bhishma Dev, although apparently living as a worldly man, is far superior to many great sages, even Vyasadeva. Another point is that Bhishma Dev at the time was not only lying on a deathbed of arrows, but was greatly aggrieved because of that state. One should not have asked him any question at that time. But Lord Sri Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. And thus, in any circumstances, the devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak of the right way of life. Yudhisthira also preferred to solve his problematic questions by asking Bhishma Dev rather than ask anyone else present there who was seemingly more learned than Bhishma Dev. This is all due to the arrangement of the great wheel carrier, Lord Sri Krishna, who establishes the glories of his devotee. The father likes to see the son become more famous than himself. The Lord declares very emphatically that worship of his devotee is more valuable than the worship of the Lord himself. Om Gyanatya Marandasya Gyanandana Sarakaya Chachurun Milikam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Whenever we hear Sutta Uvacha, it's a literary technique to bring back the original narrative, beginning all the way from the sages at Namasharanya. In this particular case, it's also a technique where the author can create a segue to a new topic by having people converse. Oftentimes you can use this technique of stopping or fulfilling a particular theme
And then saying, going back to another character in the book, speaking, and transfer over to another topic. So we started hearing Bhishmadev after the battle of Kurukshetra. All the Pandavas, the Rishis, the demigods had all gathered around this deathbed of Bhishmadev. And his initial introduction, welcoming them, and telling Yudhisthira that I can't understand all these different troubles and tribulations you've undergone. All this is the plan of the Lord, basically, was his message. And then, Sutta Uvacha, which means there's a stop to that introduction, those 12 or 13 verses that Bhishmadev spoke as an introduction, welcoming everyone, welcoming the Pandavas is over. And now it's switching over to another topic. So when I first came across this, I didn't really capture the concept of what's being spoken, but as I was chanting my rounds and thinking about this, the inappropriateness of the questioning of Bhishmadev came to mind. He's on a generally, a lot of us have seen devotees and different people leave their bodies. I've never seen anyone preaching when they're dying. They're always laying kind of in a very passive state and being read to, or kirtan's going on. In modern medical science, they even induce people sometimes into a coma. How dangerous and how opposite what this example is illuminating. Srila Prabhupada says here that Krishna wanted to Lord Sri Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. And thus in any circumstance, the devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak in the right way of life. This, when we come across examples of people, devotees, who can do this, it is a kind of like nature's signboard, billboard, saying this person is unique, this person is special, this is not ordinary. That doesn't happen ordinarily, that a person can speak and be of such clear mind at the time of death. It's an extremely difficult time. So I'm going to talk about some of the different, share some of the different examples of pure devotees. And in these different stories and pastimes, please try to remember this main theme, that it's to illuminate their consciousness at the time of death. There are several different examples in Prabhupada's books that we've come across. The first one, of course, is Maharaj Parikshit himself, emperor of the world. Nobody can like relate with that. How many horses, how much wealth, how much power. Everything you say, people jump to it. You're emperor of the world. But cursed to die in 7 days and have it all taken away. Being the grandson of Arjuna, brought up in that palace with the Pandavas, taught from childhood how to rule, how to be a devotee. We learned that he played with dolls and deities when he was young. And still, he was not really sure what to do, exactly how to prepare in that last week of death. I'm sure all of us have contemplated, okay, if I had 1 week to live, what would I do? How would I apply myself? So he left the palace, turned over the reign to his son, Janamejaya, went outside of Delhi, down to the banks of the Jamuna or Ganges, to a place called Sukratal. And at that time, hearing that he was going to leave his body, all the different demigods and rishis from all over the world started to migrate to that place to see what the emperor of the world is going to leave his body. So everybody came there. And then finally, of course, Sukadeva Goswami came there. And when Sukadeva Goswami began to speak, he made a very brief introduction, glorifying the king's question. The king had asked, the emperor had asked all those sages, now that I'm going to die, what is the best course of action? What should I do in this last moment of my life to prepare for this, to best prepare for this event? And Sukadeva Goswami, when he came, simply by his presence, everyone agreed and understood that this person is the one to speak. If there's any three words that I can share with you, it's the same words that Sukadeva Goswami shared with Maharaj Parikrit. The goal of everything we do in the entire scope of Vedic culture and Vedic philosophy is Ante Narayana Smriti. Etavan Sankha Yogabhayam Svadharman Paninishtaya Janma Labha Param Pumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Narayan is the transcendental personality of Godhead beyond the material creation. Everything that is created, sustained, and at the end annihilated is within the compass of the Mahatattva, the material principle, and is known as the material world. The existence of Narayan, or the personality of Godhead, is not within the jurisdiction of this Mahatattva. And as such, the name, form, attributes, etc. of Narayan are beyond the jurisdiction of this material world. By the speculation of empiric philosophy, which discerns matter from spirit, or by the cultivation of mystic powers, which ultimately helps the performer reach any planet of the universe or beyond the universe, or by the discharge of religious duties, one can achieve the highest perfection provided one is able to reach this stage of Narayana Smriti, or constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. This is possible only by the association of a pure devotee, one who can give a finishing touch to all the transcendental activities of the jnanis, yogis, and karmis in terms of prescribed duties defined by scripture. There are many historical instances of the achievement of spiritual perfection, such as that of the Sanakadi rishis or the nine celebrated yogendras, who attained perfection only after being situated in the devotional service of the Lord. None of the devotees of the Lord ever deviated from the path of devotional service by taking to other methods adopted by the jnanis or yogis. Everyone is anxious to achieve the highest perfection of his particular activity, and it is indicated herein that such perfection is Narayana Smriti, for which everyone must endeavor his best. In other words, life should be so molded in a manner that one is able to progressively remember the personality of Godhead in every step. This is like, you know how they have what are those called, essential oils? First you grow this, and then you take the flower, and then you extract the essence from the flower, and then you cook it down and condense it, and you get an essential oil. Or that example of the sugarcane juice coming out of the cane, cooking it down, becomes harder and thicker. Finally, it becomes like molasses. Then it becomes really thick. Then it becomes actually hard like a lozenge. The essence of the entire Vedic concept is, what are the three words?
Ante,
after. Narayan, the personality of Godhead. Smriti, remember. At the end of life, remember the personality of Godhead. Whatever we're doing, whenever you kind of get one of those glimpses, like, where am I at? What am I doing? Those contemplations. Ante Narayana Smriti is the goal. So here are some different examples of devotees and their last day of life. This is Maharaj Purikit. From 119, the last chapter of the first canto. The fortunate King Purikit said, "The personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of this Brahmin's curse. Due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world. O Brahmins, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing that Brahmin created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmins, I pray that if I should again take birth in this material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations to all living beings." In perfect self-control, Maharaj Purikit sat down on a seat of straw, with straw roots facing the east, placed on the southern bank of the Ganges, and he himself faced the north. Just previously, he had given the charge of his kingdom over to his son. Thus the king, Maharaj Purikit, sat to fast until death. All the demigods of the higher planets praised the king's actions, and in great pleasure continually scattered flowers over the earth and beat celestial drums. So if you had COVID and you were told you were going to die in 3 or 4 days, what would you do? Would you go for that ventilator? Would you go to the hospital and get all those treatments? I don't know. Everybody's different. But it's certainly, we're in an extremely precarious position in this modern world. Modern science, modern medical science, the way they put, just that, like that story of the time Srila Prabhupada went to the hospital in New York with Gargamuni and Brahmananda. And as he said, he wanted to leave. As his spirit, as his disciples, Gargamuni and Brahmananda, started to take him out of the hospitals. And what did the doctors say? "That man's going to die, and he's going to die because of you." Imagine the circumstances and the decision you have to make. These people were brought up in the Western world. These doctors are considered like, you know, the know-it-alls. And they're telling him that if you take this man away from here, he's going to die and it's your fault. I can't even conceive of how they just kept pushing. Prabhupada had said, "Take me," and Gargamuni just kept even to the wrong room, and didn't know where he was going, but he was just completely surrendered unto that order of Srila Prabhupada. But we see that we take so much faith in, and what happens if you're in that gray area where you're not really sure if you're going to die or not, right? But you think, maybe I should go to the hospital and get this help. Difficult circumstance. Next. Pardon? Yes, Adolami. In July of 1975, Srila Prabhupada initiated. One devotee found out he had cancer. His name was Adolami Das. And he wanted to take Babaji so that he could go to Mayapur and start to chant 64 rounds a day and just absorb himself like Maharaj Purikit in the holy names of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada agreed to give this one person Babaji initiation. And all the devotees were there, and he gave him the initiation and a little white coping cloth. And Adolami went to Mayapur, and he started to chant. Somehow or another, his cancer wasn't super aggressive. So he started to feel a little better in that beautiful atmosphere of Mayapur and peace. And he went to Krishna Nagar and had a checkup, and the tumor was getting better, and he was starting to get better.
Months went by, better and better and better, and finally Adoni found out that he really might not die. So Adoni left Mayapur and went back to New York. And he was friends with Drishtadyumna, who knew him from before and was part of the arrangement with Srila Prabhupada that he would take Babaji. So Drishtadyumna went and met him and said, you know, what are you doing? He said, well, I found out I'm not going to die. I'm going back into the family business and get busy with that, and left Krishna consciousness for all practical purposes, as far as I know. So these are the tricks that Maya plays. One day, after visiting the Jagannath temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by all his devotees, went too hastily to see Haridas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees came before Haridas Thakur, who offered his respects to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all those Vaishnavas. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, my dear Haridas, what is the news? Haridas Thakur replied, my Lord, whatever mercy you can bestow upon me. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately began the great congregational chanting in the courtyard. Vakreshwara Pandit was the dancer. Headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surrounded Haridas Thakur and began congregational chanting. In front of all these great devotees like Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur. As he described the transcendental attributes of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to possess five mouths. The more he described, the more happiness he increased. After hearing the transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur, all the devotees present were struck with wonder. They all offered their respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. Haridas made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him, and then he fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus face of the Lord. He held the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his heart, and then took the dust of the lotus feet of all those devotees present and put it on his head. He began to chant the name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. As he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord, tears constantly glided down from his eyes. While chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his life air and left his body. Seeing the wonderful death of Haridas Thakur by his own will, which was just like the great mystic yogis, everyone remembered the passing away of Bhishma. There was a tumultuous noise as they all chanted the holy names, Hari Krishna! Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. The Lord raised the body of Haridas Thakur and placed it on his own lap. He then began to dance in the courtyard in great ecstatic love. Because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, all the devotees were helpless, and in ecstatic love they also began to dance and chant congregationally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced for some time, and then Swarup Damodar informed him of other rituals for the body of Haridas Thakur. The body of Haridas Thakur was then raised onto a carrier that resembled an airship and taken to the sea, accompanied by congregational chanting. If you've been to Jagannath Puri, you'll remember that the place called Siddha Bakul, which is maybe 100 yards, 200 yards from Kasi Mishra's house, and a garden back there, is where Haridas Thakur was chanting every day. So they came and they built an air. In India, they always have these bamboo sticks with like a stretcher, and they put him on that, and then with congregational chanting, took him to the sea. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of that procession, and Vakreshwara Pandit, along with the other devotees, chanted and danced behind him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea and then declared, from this day on, this sea has become a great pilgrimage site. Everyone drank the water that had touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur,
and they smeared the remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp over Haridas Thakur's body. After a hole was dug in the sand, the body of Haridas was placed into it. Remnants from Lord Jagannath, such as his silken ropes, sandalwood pulp, food, and cloth, were placed upon the body. All around the body, the devotees performed congregational chanting, and Vakreshwara Pandit danced in jubilation. With his own transcendental hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally covered the body of Haridas Thakura with sand, chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. The devotees covered the body of Haridas Thakura with sand and then constructed a platform on that site. That platform was protected around by some fencing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted all around the platform. As the holy name of Hari roared tumultuously, the whole universe became filled with this vibration. After Sankirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in the sea with his devotees, swimming and playing in the water in great jubilation. I don't remember any other pastimes where the Lord personally was there with the person who's leaving their body, other than Haridas Thakur and the pastime we're reading with Bhishma Dig. Anybody know of any others? Personally, he's standing right there in front of Bhishma Dig. He's trying to speak to Yudhisthira. Haridas Thakur held the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya right on his heart, looked right into his face, and left. Such a wonder. Pardon?
Jatayu with Lord Ram.
Jatayu with Lord Ram, thank you. Hari Bo, Hari Kish, excellent, yes. Jatayu had given, Jagovinda?
There were many demons that died.
There were many demons, but the Lord was right there when they died. Yes, excellent, they all benefited. Not quite the same though. So loving was the Lord to Jatayu. Doesn't it say that everybody attained their spiritual swarup because of that?
Prabhupada extended all those 600 million people. They actually had a privilege. I like the way Prabhupada said it. To see the Lord, because their subtle body is dissolved. They see the Lord. Now, if they, whoever didn't do anything, they got, they must. Whoever appreciated the beauty of the Lord, they went to spiritual.
Yes. Yeah, on the individual. There's one more that I have. Can you play that tape, that video? During this conversation, This is Srila Prabhupada on October 21st, 1977, less than 3 weeks before he's leaving. And it's appropriate today because it's very similar to devotees all surrounding Srila Prabhupada, just as the Pandavas and all these great rishis and demigods surrounded Lord Bhishma Dev and received instructions from him. This is Pradumna. No, right on there it says final lesson. Right on the desktop. Now go to the desktop. Just minimize everything else. And what happened was that just as he had done during throughout his whole life, Srila Prabhupada was translating and giving his purports. Pradumna has the book with the Sanskrit. He's reading the verses and Srila Prabhupada is composing his purports. So the point that we're bringing up here is that Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. And thus, in any circumstances, the devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak in the right way of life.
Yes. Is there any way we can get that working on the speakers?
Therefore, we should always seek good ethics.
And it says, karma, karma hetu.
Karma hetu, if we have a devotional sadly, we get a different nature. And if we engage in business of sense gratification, the result is different.
And then the karma is tad dehopa labdhi hetu.
Yes. And according to the association of divine nature, who gets a body, karanam gunasam nasta, satasat janyam. Therefore, we should always seek good association, devotee association. Then on, life will be successful.
And then last it says the gunas, sattvadayo, jnana vikshepa moha hetavaha.
Jnana, if we live with good association, then we cultivate knowledge. That means association. A man is known by his company. So, if he has the chance of association with devotees, then our collector, teacher, belongs to him.
I just thought that that kind of...
karma, karma hetu.
Karma hetu, if we have a devotional sadly, we get a different nature.
So seeing that just reminded me of, you know, kind of when I was a kid, I was growing up in one place, and when I read Krishna book and heard about Govardhan Hill, naturally what I had seen in my youth, I stuck on to what I thought was Govardhan Hill. But when I saw Govardhan Hill, it was a completely different experience. So similarly, what I was thinking, the Pandavas and all the everybody surrounding Bhishma Dev was one thing. But when I saw this, it helped me realize the distressed condition, the dilapidated position of Bhishma Dev, and how they probably hung on his every word. Yet Bhishma Dev, and you read Mahabharata, it's a long discourse. He didn't just speak a few words. He was speaking about a lot of different topics, as we'll hear in the subsequent verses. So very clear of mind, all these devotees when they're leaving. Not induced coma.
So it's lessons we can learn. And what is the theme? What are the three words that we have to always remember? Any questions or comments? Topics, discussion, Jai Govinda Prabhu.
You mentioned that it seemed inappropriate that they are asking questions of Bhishma while he's. That may be for most people, but they all knew that Bhishma would only die when he wanted to die, so therefore he could stay long enough to answer their questions.
It wasn't my opinion. Here he says. Another point is that Bhishma Dev at that time was not only lying on a deathbed of arrows, but was greatly aggrieved because of that state. One should not have asked him any question at that time. But Lord Sri Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotee is always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. So it's actually a lila that Yudhisthira was inspired to ask that. It was not a common everybody knows he's going to die when he wants to, so we'll be able to take advantage and just ask him all these questions. There was more of a internal bhav and sentiment that was that arose in that. Again, as we spoke in the last class, Yudhisthira didn't want to take up the position of emperor. The whole thing was too overwhelming for him. Just like in the beginning, Arjuna didn't want to fight. Yudhisthira said, I'm not going to do this. This is not worth it. It wasn't worth it. I don't want it. I'm not going to do it. But because he was the right person. Remember last time I gave class, we talked about how hard it is to change the heart, especially when it's something that's more meaningful to the person. If there's something that's extremely meaningful to one, then it's obviously harder to change that, because the depths of that opinion have a foundation which is very deep, like the icebergs. So Yudhisthira's whole nature and situation at that time was not inclined. He didn't want to do this, but he had to be convinced in his heart to do it enthusiastically. And the only person that was, this whole lila comes about because the only circumstance that will really change his heart is Bhishma Dev. He's the relationship, the respect, the personality of Bhishma Dev and who he was, son of Ganga, brought up in the heavenly planets, taught by Brihaspati, political science. So Yudhisthira knew this, and he's submissive. His whole life he was submissive. He grew up in the palace. This was the elder. So all these different circumstances, that's like Udipan in Rasa. There are different time, place, circumstance, people that bring about events or circumstances that affect one's heart. And this circumstance, the people there, the whole thing is to convince Yudhisthira to do it. So he did. He asked that question because it was part of that lila that was unfolding.
And even though Bhishma was very aggrieved,
Oh, imagine! Somebody was pointing out the other day, it wasn't like a bed of nails where the yogis lie on top of it. These were arrows through his entire body.
He fell back, and he's lying on that.
And Arjuna shot the arrow into the ground. There's a little Ganga coming and dribbling down his cheeks to the ground, Prabhu.
So at the beginning, Bhishma was hesitant. He says, when the all-knowing Lord is here, why should I speak? You know everything, Krishna. You should speak. Then Krishna says, that this would not add to my glory. I mean, I am already glorious. But when you speak, this conversation shall remain as long as the earth exists. See, this conversation would be remembered, you know. And then I give you the blessing that you would not feel any pain anymore. You would be clear of mind, and you would be able to speak perfectly to you.
Oh, beautiful. What a whole another element to it. It's like another petal on the flower of this lila, that exchange between Krishna and Bhishma. Thank you. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Krishna.
That's what I was thinking.
But,
I wasn't thinking of this.
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, I just wanted to see what he would say about this. He wrote a very short purport. And he said, although he shouldn't have asked, he did because he had no other alternative. He was at a loss. Oh, okay, well, now ask him.
I was thinking that when Mother Uttara approached King Parikshit just before his dying, it was an interesting conversation that Parikshit Maharaj says, Mother, this is the time one should be peacefully meditate on Krishna. Right. But the question you asked, triggering, very intriguing, that maybe the discussion on this philosophy about Krishna consciousness is more important than just meditating.
Beautiful. Yes, nice.
And then she, of course, humbly submitted, I am a woman, I cannot perceive the way you perceive. I see there is no disturbance in your mind without drinking, eating, you just listen. But I could not do this. I was like, my intelligence is not. Can you make it in a summary form? Where Brihad Bhagavatam Mito manifested. Of course, there's a whole discussion like how much time was it? Brihad Bhagavatam Mito is a huge volume, but how? But somehow or other, it's always gave me another cushion in a sense. The time of death is not just to meditate peacefully, quietly. It could be any disturbance come. It's better have a devotee association, kirtan, and glorification of the Lord. That's better.
Beautiful. We were in Mayapur also in 1996. Guru Govinda Maharaj had some different devotees with him, and he was speaking about Radha and Krishna's intimate leelas. He started to cough. He said, excuse me for a moment. He laid back, boom, and he left his body. It's a perfect, what a perfect way to go. It was just preaching about Krishna, talking about Krishna, absorbed in Radha Krishna Lila in Mayapur. It was Hari Bol.
Madhavananda Guru said that the discussion was eye to eye union.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
And finally, that Radharani is about to leave the body, or she is feeling like that. Ah. And Krishna finally that heard the sound that Krishna is here. So she opened the eye and Krishna's eye, and then she forgot all her separation. Wow. This eye-to-eye union and Guru Govinda Maharaj also left.
Wow.
What a glory.
Yes, what a glorious departure.
How can I get that?
Yes. Well, not asking the right person at all. Ante Narayana Smriti. Ante Krishna Smriti. Dhyana Samarpi.
So Srila Prabhupada says so many times that the body is broken down. There is very weak. How does one? What if one can't utter the name of Krishna? What if one can't, due to physical disturbances, remember Krishna? So this was a very big meditation, as it should be for all devotees. So I came up with this understanding that how you live is how you die. And the only thing we can really count on, aside from the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, is that every moment that we are consciously alive in this body, every moment, Prabhupada said 24 hours a day. So that's pretty serious stuff. In the beginning, we have so many different things to engage us and distract us. But that actually is the only way to remember Krishna. And if we are doing that or attempting to do that 24 hours a day, somehow or another, in our service, in our chanting, in our reading, in our discussing, learning to see everything in relation to Krishna, if we're doing that, then actually we have a good case. We have a good case to present before Krishna, even if we can't physically remember him at the time of death. We have worked hard to do it during our life. So Krishna's not hard-hearted. We're hoping that he'll give mercy.
I believe it's in the fourth canto. There's a purport where it says, if one cannot remember Krishna, then Krishna remembers him if he's rendered service throughout his lifetime.
How did you say?
I was thinking that we're in the story.
Drumila?
No, I thought that's what Samapri was going to say, that I was thinking of saying. But then you just now said that Krishna will remember him. So the way I read something or heard something recently where the words that were used, Srila Prabhupada said that, so if the body is disrupted with all kinds of, or he's unconscious or due to, so Prabhupada said that Krishna will force himself into the mind of the devotee.
Sweet. Yeah, nice.
That's the way I heard it.
I like it. Well, in fact, Jagovinda had one too.
That's maybe one reason Maharaj Kulashekar prayed to leave his body when he was fit in mind and body.
Yes.
So
yes,
he won't be disturbed by what's going on with the body at that very traumatic moment.
Nice. Kulashekar.
I was thinking in the Puranjan story that Narad Muni's conversation that he didn't want to become a woman, he wanted to enjoy women. So then the discussion came to this conclusion, what causes them new body, new birth? He said, is the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comment, is the taste. At the moment of death, all our list, whatever we draw the happiness from, one by all the suffering that we didn't want, it will disappear. Don't worry about it. It will not come next. It will be gone. We didn't want it. We went through the experience. It will be gone. But what we wanted or what we got the taste, it will stay. And one by one will be checked. Whatever the highest taste we experience, it will take there. So if we do not taste Krishna consciousness, anyway, I don't want to say it, but I'm talking to myself. Pran Govind will be scared. Better have a good experience of Krishna consciousness, devotee association, chanting. And
I was thinking also how audacious and puffed up we are. I've heard devotees often, because it's confusing, why Bhishma Dev is still a Mahajan, even though he sat in the Sabha when Draupadi was being disrobed. This is why. Because he showed by this example what to do and how to do it. And it trumps everything else one does in life. If you remember Narayan, at the time, look at what he's going to do. He's going to speak this whole thing about how to rule to Yudhisthira. And then he's going to come back to focus on Krishna, who is standing right in front of him when he leaves his body. And he shows the perfect example of how everything unfolded at the end of his life. All the things he was taught. He gave up being emperor, right? When Santanu wanted to marry Satyavati, he took the vow that he won't have children so that her children could be the heirs to the throne. But still, his whole life was centered around that activity as a kshatriya. And Krishna fulfilled all these different things towards the end of his life where he could share all that knowledge, pass it on to his grandson, Yudhisthira, and then focus directly on Krishna, give it all up. Now let my mind be invested
And Lord Sri Krishna is standing before me and quit his body.
Even I was saying, like, a few verses from now is going to come that Draupadi did ask him, or she was laughing. In a Vedic culture, women do not exhibit their humors or laughing in the presence of the wise or sages.
Mm.
But she did. Mm. And Bhishma Dev somehow or other noticed, and he asked that, anyway, to make it to the concise point, that she asked him, you are speaking such a nice of pati dharma, paribarik dharma, sti dharma, the 10 dharma he spoke, and one of them he said, how can you speak such a eloquently patni dharma, the duty of a husband and a wife, and where was your exhibition of that dharma when I was disrobed? And it's very nice. Prabhupada gave a nice purport. Probably next week we'll hear.
Uh-huh.
That how when we eat without offering, when we are supported by somebody who is doing illegal activities, we are part of it.
Yes.
And we are going to suffer for it.
And he was also.
That's what he said.
Uh-huh.
And then she said, well, then how are you speaking now? He said, all the blood is drained out that was consumed by the those.
Ay, ay, ay.
So it's like a beautiful, the whole chapter is like
wonderful. Oh, love and rasa is not just rasa dance. People say first canto, oh, now why read first canto? This is why, because there's so much in it.
Maybe you can answer me one, just this is my last one. I know it's like this never ends. Yeah. In one way to look at it, that my love or our love should be, we should love Krishna more than we love the world, then Krishna will take us out of the world. That's one way to look at it. Other way also seeing that because I'm where I am today, I have to love Krishna with the world, in the world, through the world. So how do we balance in between?
That both of those are proper, but you remember that example that Lord Chaitanya gave to Rupa Goswami when he was talking about the Bhakti Lata Bij and the Upashakas? Upashakas are weeds that grow along with one's devotion. As we water the Bhakti Lata and it grows by the cultivation of devotional service, naturally, just like in any garden, weeds also grow along with those, with that pure creeper. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that those creepers look exactly like the real creeper. And only a pure devotee can discern between them. That's why it's so important to have better association of more advanced sadhus, because they can help us perceive our anarthas. We think that this is my devotional service. People are so adamant about their attitude and their beliefs in a particular aspect of devotional service, even to the point of offending anyone who has a different opinion. But you have to be careful about that. That would be my realization of that particular one. What is this?
This is the chat room.
Oh, chat room. What was Srila Prabhupada saying at the end? Specific word was not clear when listening remotely. I could hear certain words but did not get the train of thought. Who was the other? Yeah. If you look on YouTube, it's a longer video, but just look up the final lesson. Srila Prabhupada, the final lesson. There's a whole video that Siddhanta put together in the Acharya series of Srila Prabhupada's last days in Vrindavan. Who was there, that lying on the bed, etc. Jai Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Bhishma Dev, ki jai. Thank you.